Bear Down Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer, Tom Thayer in the building filling in on a Tuesday. My goodness, we got the best of the best out here to evaluate what we saw at practice today. Of course, day 13 of training camp, and to look at some of the changes that the Chicago Bears have coming. Bayless Jones in the running back room, Tom.
You know, he's been there. He's been there before. He's got a lot of skills. He's the type of guy that you want to put the ball into his hands as simply as you can possibly get it done and let him turn into the hard-running athlete that he is. So if that's the way they want to do it with Bayless, if it's on kickoff return, if it's as a wide receiver, you know, the more things you can do, the more deception you can add into your offense. So I'm all for giving Bayless as many opportunities as he can get and see how many athletes you can put on the field at once.
That's the goal, and that's what the Bears are trying to do here. We want to talk about all that and more, so hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a five-star review. Y'all know what to do. Let's start it off here. I'm going to start it off with the expertise that we've seen, because yet another day of swapping guys around on the offensive line, yet another day of kind of pulling guys in and out. Nate Davis went through walkthroughs today but didn't actually go through team period and situational period, ended up being on the bike for that portion. When you look at kind of the ups and downs that this offensive line has seen in its history, and you look at where the Bears are starting this season off, where's your feeling with the offensive line right now?
Man, I can look at it as an ex-offensive lineman. I can be bitter about it, or I can look at it as a Bears fan and I can be hopeful about it, or else I can look at it through the eyes of a rookie quarterback and what my needs are. And so as the ex-player in me, I think you need so many reps, Pat, behind the same offensive line with the consistency of the cadence to make sure you become familiar with the tempo, the volume of a non-rhythmic cadence. And that takes, to me, Pat, I really believe that you better have 1,000 reps before the first regular season game with the same five guys. Because, yeah, week one against Tennessee at home, you're going to be able to hear everything. You and I will be able to hear the cadence. But then again, you go to week two down in Houston on a nationally televised game after the season they're coming off of. It's going to be an atmosphere that maybe Caleb has only faced a couple times in his career. And so you need that consistency in the group in front of them to make sure that they understand that tempo of cadence. And then you need that same group of guys in front of them to understand the protections, understand the vulnerabilities of certain protections, so Caleb understands that when he's calling it and while he's calling it. And then Shane Waldron and Chris Morgan, offensive coordinator, offensive line coach, running game coordinator, they need to see what are the strengths and weaknesses of this offensive line when we keep this group together. So there's a lot of unanswered questions, and that is a concern to me. But Chris Morgan has never disappointed me in the past when he's had to put together patchwork offensive lines. They've been able to perform, but they've been so great in the running game the last couple of years. But in 16 of those games in the last couple of years, Justin Fields has led them in rushing.
Yeah,
and I don't want to see Caleb rushing. I want to see Caleb throwing.
Yeah, no, and I think that's where my concern with where this team is at on the O-line, and let me know if you kind of see this. You mentioned 1,000 snaps. There's clearly probably at this point no way we're going to get to that number as we get towards camp unless all of a sudden everybody magically becomes healthy. But we keep expecting different with the same or at least a similar group of guys that we've had question marks on for the last 2 years, for some of these guys the last 3 years. Tevin Jenkins has been the injury concerns. Nate Davis has been the practice concerns. I think you're running back the same scenario with the two center positions here that you had with Lucas Patrick and Cody Whitehair, basically by saying, we don't really know which one's going to be the center, but we'll see who's the best at the end of the day. Is that the best way to set up your quarterback's development through this process, does it feel like maybe the Bears are putting Caleb a little bit behind the eight ball with how they've handled the offensive line?
You know, I think you got Caleb coming out of college where he just looked to the sideline to see what the play call was, and then he used the hand clap cadence. So whenever you're putting Caleb that's trying to learn the tempo of a cadence as well as the terminology that's going through his headset and then going to the line of scrimmage, depending upon how much time is left on the play clock, there's right. so many things you're thinking about before that that Caleb needs to become comfortable with all the other details before you ever call the play. And the best way to become comfortable is looking at the same people in the huddle a majority of your preparation time. So is it the perfect case scenario? No. However, Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus, Chris Morgan, Shane Waldron, every one of these assistant coaches, they have to do a serious evaluation of the playing time of the guys that are going to be given. And then they're going to have to put the best five out there. And if that includes some of the names you mentioned, it may. But if it doesn't, if they feel that there's other guys that are playing a good brand of football, maybe you switch a position or two, maybe that's the case as well. And, you know, nobody – I don't know, Pat, you know, what do you think? Montez Sweat, Jalen Johnson, Kevin Byard, the linebackers, a few guys that are guaranteed their spots, DJ yeah. Keenan, Cole, so on and so forth, DeAndre. But – the competitiveness on the offense and defensive line, where you need competition but you need consistency, is probably more undetermined positions of any of the two spots.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think that there's, and even how Ryan Poles talked about it, it's going to be very difficult to make this team. There's a lot of guys who are kind of in their spots and you feel comfortable there. But it is a little bit, for me at least, right, when I look at the offensive line, my concern comes in because I feel like we're having the same concerns as previous seasons, but we're just swapping the quarterback out and we're saying, well, listen, you know, if he goes out there and he throws it like Joe Burrow does, it's like, well, yeah, it's great. Joe Burrow made a Super Bowl. He made an AFC title game. The two seasons he was healthy. And the two seasons he wasn't healthy, it's because there were guys getting run over. So I agree with you wholeheartedly that I would love to see that offensive line start to get solidified, start to see guys consistently in their spots. I think the guys on the line that you know, right, Darnell Wright, it feels like is your starting right tackle no matter right. what. Tevin Jenkins feels like he's your starting left guard, barring injury. Braxton Jones feels like he's your starting left tackle. Your two biggest questions right now, and I'd ask you, do you agree with this, is your right guard spot, where we heard Matt Eberflus today, and I don't know if this is him. I don't want to say he's taking a shot, but I think he is setting a standard here of like, listen, just because you were the starter, I don't believe that you can't lose your job because of injury. If somebody plays better and is more consistent at that position, we'll be willing to look at him as a starter. I think that was a little bit of a message personally to Nate Davis of like, hey, look, if Ryan figures it out before you do, he's going to be there. And then, of course, that starting center position where you've had a guy fill in every other day. I think that's got to be immensely difficult for a young quarterback to figure out.
I agree 100% with you. But I'm glad that Matt is open to competition, that if Ryan Bates is the best right guard prospect that this team can offer, the strength of this offensive line and a right tackle like Darnell in Coleman Shelton, or there's a I got to make sure I say his name, Jerome Carvin, number 63. Yeah. He's a guy – he's playing a really good brand of center, Pat. So I think you also have to consider him and try to feed him a little bit more preseason reps to see if he's a legitimate contender there. But Coleman Shelton is a good football player. And then Ryan Bates is a good football player. To me, he's more built for guard than the limited reps at the NFL level at center that he's had.
Right.
So, hey, if you can put together and you say, okay, we're trotting out these same five guys from now until week one of Tennessee, maybe that benefits Caleb the best. But you also have to take this in consideration. The most favorable pass protections for an offensive line, it's play action pass, it's screens, it's outlet passes to the running back position, and it's quick hitters to the wide receiver position. So as you're thinking about the process of development of the offensive line and what they're capable or not capable of doing, you have to keep those protections in mind of what is going to put Caleb in the best position. And for an offensive line that may be inexperienced, there's nothing like play action pass because they're a good running team. They can fire off the line of scrimmage. They can give Caleb that instant of deception that he needs, and boom, you find your route is open. So I think as – you know, as you sit here, you and I sit here, we go to practice and we watch it, and maybe we're frustrated by who's not there. You got to take in consideration, what can you think about that is always going to put Caleb in the best position to succeed?
Defensively, when you look at this team, I mean, you got a chance, of course, to call the game on Thursday. And they're all running together now. So we got Saturday this week. They're all running together. You got a chance to call the game on Thursday. We saw some interesting pieces out there, but we didn't get a chance to see the starters. And I think a lot of it is because of the confidence that everyone's coming in with this starting defense. When you look at this defense right now, I guess let's start in the trenches, right? A guy like Jervon Dexter, we saw him yet again in a day where you're not getting as much because there's not pads on, but a day where he was able to knock down a couple of balls, be able to get his hands up, use that size to his advantage. We talked about the offensive line. Where's your confidence level on this defensive line with guys like Sweat, Dexter, Billings, and, of course, DeMarcus Walker?
You know, the thing that's encouraging to me is Jervon Dexter has looked as good in pads as he is in non-padded practices. He's long. Yes. He's able to take up throwing lanes in the interior. He has good anticipion and how to read the offensive lineman in front of him in pursuit to the point of attack. So everything that I've seen out of Jervon is super encouraging. And to have that alpha male type guy like Montez Sweat next to him, I think it expedites your development mentally and physically, because you hear you have a guy, man, if I compliment him and he compliments me, you're opening the door for more opportunities. But I'm a big believer, if you're going to go to bat to start a regular season, you better have six defensive linemen, because I need a guy that's rotating through the process and, you know, really showing me something. The guy who's come aboard, and since the first day of full padded practices up until now, Austin Booker has this innate ability to rush the passer with deception, strength, and balance. And I think that's one of the things that's most difficult for an offensive lineman when you're playing against a guy with his type of length that has his spin ability, but also has the ability to combo a move if he gets stalemated at the line of scrimmage. And I'm not against, and either is Matt Eberflus, against playing rookies a significant amount of time. Can you move guy, you know, and I'm not losing sight that DeMarcus Walker is still probably the starting defensive end opposite of Montez Sweat. But if you can feed Austin Booker 25 pass rushing snaps on second and long and third and long every game, you're going to speed his learning process tremendously. And then with Andrew Billings and Zach Pickens and let me see, what is my other guy's name? Daniel Hardy, number 92.
He had some really
good rushes in the game the other night. And, you know, these guys are going to get a lot more reps throughout the preseason. And that group, that cream's got to rise to the top. And the guys that we know of that we expect to see, but like I said, you better have six, hopefully seven guys that are game day actives that are all getting involved in the game.
You know what I love about Austin Booker too, which I think that he's a great name to bring up from the game, and we saw this, is he's a guy who through his entire career has been a limited snap guy. He has not been the main go-to guy that they want to, you're starting, you're getting out there, go figure it out. But he just continues to find his way into the backfield. He continues to, every time he gets an opportunity, make the most of it. We continue to see that today, of course, at practice, where he's able to find his way into the backfield a couple of times. Have you seen a guy like that where it's just like, I'm going to find my way into more reps, more snaps, even if they don't want to give them to me? I'm going to go out there and whatever they give me, I'm taking it.
Well, I don't want to speak out of tune for him, but I don't want a robot. I don't want a guy that I got to teach how to pass rush every single move. I want a guy like J.J. Watt, a guy like Aaron Donald, a guy like Bruce Smith in his second year. These guys that have they have the innate ability to pass rush already. When you get to this level and you start playing against a better line of talent, it's just perfecting your skills. And when I remember the first day of padded practices, Austin Booker had an inside spin move on maybe his first pass rush. And the only thing that kept him from a sack is he kind of tripped up at the end. And that's not a move. That's not a move that you teach. That's a move that you have inside of you. And to me, Bruce Smith, and playing against him, he probably had the best inside spin move of anybody that I've seen. Hall of Famer, you know, leading, you know, career sacker, you know, at the end of his career. And that's the thing about Austin. is you get him eating correctly, you get him in the weight room, you start feeding him the life of an NFL player, and all of a sudden you see these incremental improvements throughout time. I, like Richard Dent, came in here light, got into the weight room, was eating more efficiently, and then he turned into the Hall of Famer that he became. Again, I'm not comparing them, but you see these instances of innate ability that you don't really need to teach them.
How do you build the weight up on these guys? You just piling on chicken sandwiches at lunch? Is that how you build them up? Because he's 6'6", 240. I think ideal weight for him. I see a guy who could have a Chase Young type ability, but Chase Young came in 260. He probably needs to add about 20 more pounds.
Yeah, I agree. And a lot of that is Jimmy Arthur, the strength coach up there, introduced him to a little bit heavy lifting. You know, I think when you go to a weight room up at that they have at Halas Hall, it's the Taj Mahal of weightlifting. They have every different way that you could possibly imagine of adding strength. And speed is strength, and strength is speed. And so I think what Austin has already put on display in terms of his athleticism, if you go and you use that inside the weight room, the gains that he could make are, you know, unpredictable. And, you know, you could take a 300-pound bencher into a 400-pound bencher within that year and then be able to work that strength on the field.
What's the biggest thing you need to see game to game? We saw, of course, that first game, not a lot of starters practice, but you got to see a little bit of Shane Waldron, what he likes to do. Of course, how Flus is going to call things. What's the one thing that you want to see from that first Hall of Fame game that you really want to see take a step in this Buffalo Bills game coming up?
You mentioned Shane Waldron. I want to see the balance in him calling the offense. I don't want him to start going 70-30 pass to run because Caleb's in the game. Keep it 50-50, and I think that's going to help Caleb more. When they do get the offensive line in there, you know, the Bears this past week in the Hall of Fame game, they did a nice job of running the ball on first down. That's kind of been a staple of the Bears over the last couple of years with DeAndre Swift, Khalil Herbert, Roschon Johnson, so on and so on. They need to keep up success on first down in order to become less predictable on second and third down, and those things will help Caleb. And then defensively, consistency and pressure. Okay, you know, with the modern-day NFL, with RPOs and three-step drops, you don't have to come here and give me an unrealistic 72 sacks, but I think they had 25 last year or something. Give me, you know, I need you to approach almost doubling that. And it starts in the preseason. And like you said, it's got to be complemented by every level. I think the linebackers have blitz ability. I think Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker and those guys have blitz ability from the third level. But a majority of it's going to come from that line of scrimmage guys.
We're now 13 practices in. What's been your assessment of how Matt Eberflus has set these guys up? Because that was kind of my last question that I had coming out of last season. We left training camp last year and I was like, okay, we did some things. Like there's a lot of confidence, but all right, are we going to see it on the field? And then we lost the first four games. Have you seen a growth in Flus, how he's run things? Have you seen him kind of change his approach, or does it feel more of the same to you?
No. So I'm not, listen, I love Justin Fields. I like the person Justin Fields. I like the athlete. But the quarterback, the first, second, and third down quarterback, I like Caleb. Because Caleb isn't drop back pressure run. He's drop back pressure, first option, second option, check down. And I think the play of the quarterback position is more efficient right now.
Yeah.
At this stage of training camp, after the 13 practices, you said that it was at the end of last season. And I think Caleb has a lot of responsibility for that. And then when you think of DJ and Keenan and Cole and Gerald and DeAndre and all the other running backs, I see Caleb taking advantage of his offensive weapons now. Like the whole show started. I noticed when we came on, you turned your hat around like Rocky or like Sylvester Stallone when he was in the arm wrestling movie. And so like we were talking about early, is
what a throwback. I love that. I did a little bit.
Yeah, you did. You came and turned there was a that power thing right around. And first thing I saw, man, he must be getting ready to arm wrestle Tyson Bajan's dad. But what we talked about earlier is the strength and the toughness and the alpha of the offense and defensive line. So, you know, that still has a lot to prove to me. But out of the quarterback, out of the weapons, out of the defensive backfield, out of the linebacker position, they're so much farther along right now than they were to start camp last year and how they finished the season. Again, that's as quality as you can get.
I kind of became one of the faces of the Justin Fields movement here, but I always was very, whatever Ryan Pohl sees, whatever he wants to do, I'm fine with that. And the one thing you pointed it out perfectly in camp, Justin to me was always 1-2 me.
Yeah.
Right. Instead of I'm going to go through my reads. He was 1, maybe 2. All right, I got to get up out of here. I got to use my legs because I know that I can get the job done. And I understood the distrust that he had because, I mean, when you show up and your best receivers are other teams' 4th and 5th best, you know, it makes things a little bit difficult. Caleb Williams has now very different situation. But it's been, like you said, night and day. I see him maneuvering in the pocket. I see him stepping up. I see him in situations where we probably would have seen Justin take off even in training camp last year. To me, it seems like he's more willing to sit there and go, I'll take a shot here if I feel like I got a shot downfield. Right. And it has been, I'm going to go through my progression. I'm going to find a guy and I'm going to let my receivers make the play. That has been a breath of fresh air, and I think it's really changed the dynamic of training camp as well.
Yeah, you know, another thing about Caleb is in the play that Justin got hurt last year, it was a 3-man rush, and he tried to escape out to the left. He got caught from behind. He fell down and broke his finger or thumb or whatever he did. Caleb is okay throwing the ball out of bounds. He's not going to force that rush that maybe he's already being tracked down. He's not – he's not being reckless with the football. And sometimes, look, you just got to throw it out of bounds and live to fight another play. And so the quarterback clock, the quarterback thinking in his head is a lot more efficient.
No, for sure. Before we let you go here, Tom, and appreciate you coming on the show, spending time with us. You got an opportunity to be in the room for one of your teammates who got inducted into the Hall of Fame. Of course, we're talking about Mongo. What was that moment like for you to be able to see him get the gold jacket and finally get his just due that, in my opinion, should have been done? We shouldn't have been this far along before he got this jacket. But what was it like being in the room and seeing him be able to get that honor?
You know, the thing about Ming, since he's lost the ability to speak, when you go in there and visit him and you bend over his bed and you make eye contact with him and you see the reflection in his eyes and yours as well, and he knows you're there and you know, that's the communication that you have. And you can sit there and tell him how proud you are of his accomplishments. And I'm with you. It's been a long time coming and it should have happened a while ago. And then to see the guys that showed up, the gold jet Jimbo and Richard and Singletary and the rest of the guys, every one of them, and to see how much they enjoy still being in the presence of Ming, because he's a guy, if you ever had a chance to sit around and either talk to him in a locker room as a teammate or socialize with him or meet him at an appearance or see him in a bar, he's just a legit all-time great guy. And I respect the heck out of him. He did so much for me throughout my career, and I'm glad that I got to be at his home on that day.
Yeah.
Rather than being in Canton, because just being able to sit there and make that eye contact with him on such a special day, it's sad, but it's something you'll always remember.
Absolutely. I said this before, and I'll still maintain it. I'm very happy that Mongo's in. This is the NFL's biggest mess up. There's nobody who has the numbers that he has the success that he has, that it took this long for them to get into the Hall. I mean, there's some great players out there that aren't in yet, but I'm glad they finally got him in. At the end of the day, you can only look at where they're at now. But It should have been done. Yep. I shouldn't be sitting here covering it at this point in time. But hey, we appreciate you guys for tuning in, showing love. As always, Tom, I appreciate you coming on the show. Hopefully we can get you back in here again and get your reaction during the season of what this team is going to look like.
Anytime, Patrick. You know, you got my number. You know how to get a hold of me. I got a new computer just to be able to talk more clearly to you.
Oh, I love it. I love it. We and I love my favorite thing about doing the show with you. There's always a great angle in the house. Phenomenal picture behind you with the staircase. Last time we had like the giant glass window. Phenomenal angles.
There's Ming right there.
Yeah.
That's McMichael there.
Absolutely love
right
it.
Right there. Man. That's what we're shooting for, Pat. You see where my finger is?
We need it. Super Bowl trophy, man.
Yes, sir.
We need it. I'm stressed out here. It's been a long life.
Me too.
Hey, for you guys out there, we appreciate you tuning in and showing love as well. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. For Tom Thayer, it's your boy Pat the Designer, back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. One love. Peace.